Good morning. It's a little damp outside, but it's not that white stuff. It is not ice. I know they're calling for a little bit tonight, but it ain't going to be much, and it ain't going to be that cold. So I think by morning, whatever. No, Warren, it ain't going to be 5 inches. If it does, it's your fault. So good morning. All right, let's look at some announcements real quick here. The Senior Saints Ministry meeting Monday the 23rd. That's tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Deacons WME meetings Tuesday the 3rd at 7 p.m. MTBA gathering. Of course, that always conflicts with our stuff. So if you're not meeting with us and you want to go to one of these, you're welcome to. Church business meeting Wednesday the 4th at 7. Spring cleanup Saturday the 14th at 8 a.m. Join in the fellowship hall, refresh and care for the building and grounds. All help is appreciated. And see Jackie with any questions. WMA fundraising luncheon Sunday the 15th after the worship service in the fellowship hall. Your donation will enable the WMA to continue its many faith-based projects. Please direct any questions to Annette Bowles. And in men's fellowship breakfast Saturday the 21st at 8 a.m., in the fellowship hall, all church men are encouraged to attend. Sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. Okay? Any other announcements? Anything else? We got? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every day you give us, but especially this day, because it's a day we come to offer you our worship and our praise, to give you all the glory, all the honor for who you are and for what you do for us, and especially to thank you for the gift of salvation in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to thank you that you do love us so much, and help us today to listen to what you have to say to us through this service, in the songs, in the message, and through the moving of your Holy Spirit. Whatever it may be attentive to it, for we all come in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Never forsaken, I am safe in His love. Never forsaken, even when I'm alone. Never forsaken while I'm traveling home. He's watching down and I'm looking up all I am. Never forsaken, I am safe in His love. Never forsaken, even when I'm alone. Never hymn this morning is number 18. Let's just praise the Lord. We'll sing it through two times.
Good morning, everybody. Let the children come. Let the children come down front. Oh, I see Dare's the first one today. Hey, Tim. Hey, Toby. There you are. You are down in front, aren't you? You guys doing well? Oh, here we go. We got a couple more. Good morning. So today, I have a little bite. Oh, what do you have, Toby? That is so cool. Isn't it fun to be a kid? Toys, lack of responsibilities, no mortgages. All right, so I got a little thing to read you. This is Jesus talking, Johnny. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And they shall have everlasting life, and they are in my hand, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." How you like that? They know my voice. Now, you guys know your parents' voice, right? And you know lots of things, like if a police car makes a siren, you know what that noise is. How about this? This makes a special noise, right? What happens in church? What happens in church when the pastor rings us? What do, Charlie? That's right. We welcome each other. So it's like a voice that we know. We know that voice. Well, you know, Jesus and God know our voice. And they say that if we know His voice, we will have eternal salvation. That means He will take care of us forever. What's that? Yeah, well, That's pretty cool. He was sharing a little story with me, and I would repeat it if I could understand all of it. But that's okay. This is his moment too. So the Lord listens to us, and the Lord said he will keep us. And he also said that he has us all in his hand. There once was a song I used to sing when I was young. It said he's got the whole world in his hand. I'm sure you guys know that song. Well, guess what? He also says that no one can take us from his hand. Man, that's special stuff. That means we believe in him, he believes in us, and he will keep and protect us. So I want you to remember that, okay? He hears us. He hears our prayers, Tim. When we say our prayers each night and each morning and even during the day, he hears us. He knows us personally, and he promises to take care of us. So let's say a little prayer before you guys go in the back room, you ready? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We recognize your voice, and we know that you hear our voice and know our voice. And we know that by so we are saved, and we are with you forever in your hand. You will take care of us. Help us be good people. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, go forward. And no, I wasn't going to ring that bell too loudly. Hey, I want to say it's good to see everybody today. Trey and Caroline have friends. Isn't that neat? And it's so good to have you three join us this morning. We're so glad you're here. And I see some others I haven't seen for a while, so it's good to see the house full. We have some people that aren't doing well in the church. There are a lot of colds and coughs and flus and stuff like going around. So we ask that you please be careful. After shaking hands this morning, let's go home and wash our hands, right? After church, all right? That's a good thing to do. Mate Swift is not doing well, in case you haven't heard. He hasn't been doing his best and was taken to Hanover Regional Memorial Hospital, where they think, but they're not sure, he could have a bleeding ulcer or something like that, so they're doing some checking on him. We have some people here that have some procedures and stuff going on this week, so we ask special prayers for them. We have people at home recovering from bumps and bruises and breaks and twists and sprains, so we ask special pressings for them. Anybody have anything new to bring to the pastor's attention this morning? Well, it's so good to see everybody on this special day, and we continue to thank God for our health and knowing that he's watching over us and that he has us in his hand.
Thank you.
be seated.
What all has the Lord given you? You know, we all have a roof over our heads. We have clothes on our back. I don't see anybody starving in here. No, I'm not. He's given us so much. He's so great. But think about the greatest thing of all is He gave us His Son. Amen. He gave us everlasting life. And He's made us heirs to His kingdom. Amen. And today, as part of our worship and gratitude, we give back a portion of what He's so greatly blessed us with. In a way, we say, yes, Lord, we thank You, we love You, and we want to help back to see that Your work goes forth in this church, this community, and in the world, and that more people can find Jesus Christ through our giving, and also in our own personal efforts in sharing the gospel. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You've done for us. You've been so great to us. And help us today as we give back to You a portion that it's used to go forth to see that other people learn of how great You are and that they too can receive eternal life. This we all give in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story told of a father of five children who came home with a toy. He summoned his children and asked, which one should be given the present? Who is the most obedient, never talks back to mom, and does everything he or she is told to do? Then there was silence, and then a chorus of voices said, you play with it, Daddy. Imagine if a child didn't know from day to day whether they were whether they were a family member or not. If good one day they were in and if bad they were out. One day the father loved them, the next day he didn't. A child living like this would have an emotional and psychological wreck. Now the fact is, regardless of behavior, you're always going to be a member of your family, and that's nothing you or they can do about it. You were born into the family, and that can never be changed. The same is with God's family. If you are in Jesus, you're part of the family. Now, let's define who is in that family. Who is a believer? One who has received Jesus into their heart as their Savior by faith. Now, this is a true thing. They've truly accepted it. One who is trusting Jesus totally for their salvation. It is a person who has been born again. One who has been made a partaker of the divine nature. Now, this person can never be lost again. Now, what about those who appear to be saved but now have no interest in spiritual things? They really never truly have been saved. They've been baptized. They've made a public profession of faith. They may even have looked like a Christian, but now they're out in the world. Matthew 7:22-23, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They probably had never really been saved. They left the faith, they stayed away, they were never saved. It says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They did not lose their salvation, they simply never had it. The reason they fell away and stayed away is because they were never saved. Now, we're going to look this morning at how to be sure you have eternal life. And we're going to look at John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. Now, I'm going to be quoting some scriptures throughout here as we go. And you probably won't have time to look them up, but they're all notated in your outline, the sermon outline in your bulletin. So you can take that home, and I encourage you not to leave it here, but to take that home and look at those scriptures and study them. Remember, write them down because this will help you. Also, if you may begin a discussion of other people about salvation, the doubts and so forth, you can use this to help them. So with that, let's first look at John 10, 27 and 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, as a thought in wanting to do this message, throughout my ministry, I'm working on the 44th year, I've had the question over and over again, people come to me and said, you know, they're not sure whether they're saved, you know, how can I know, and so forth. There's always some doubts in there. So this sermon I did to answer that, and I want you to hear what it says today. Now, first off, God's promise. That's Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This includes everything. Nothing, like it says, nothing can separate you. His promises are guaranteed. We have to take God at his word and know that his promises are true. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If you believe in the Bible, then you can believe in eternal life. God's perseverance, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says here. His work, not yours. His work. What was that work? That work was Christ on the cross. God began the work. Listen to this. He began it. He will complete it. He is the one that brought us under conviction. He's the one that helped us to receive Jesus. You might say he is the convictor, the converter, and the completer. He always finishes what he starts. Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, and that men should fear before him. If any believe they could ever be lost again, It would mean that God would be defeated in his eternal purpose. You're not going to defeat him in his eternal purpose. This is an impossibility. He will finish what he's begun in you. Now, God's predestination, Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, when he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, there's always this question about predestination. What is that? God knows, has known from the beginning, each and every one of us, and he knows each and every person whether they will accept or not accept his Son as Savior. He knows that. But also, once we do, we're predestined for something else. Those who receive Christ are predestined to go to heaven and to be just like Jesus. He saw it. He planned it. He predestined it. He brought it to pass. It is important to be saved and then it is impossible to be saved and then be lost again. It destroys the predestined plan of Almighty God. Now think about this for a moment. It can't be eternal life if you can lose it. I always tell people this, remember, and I knew we used to talk when I was kids, and we'd talk about Indian givers. We'd call people Indian givers. You know, give you something and then take it back. God's not an Indian giver. What he gave will not be taken back. He sees us already in heaven. You know, we're not citizens here. We're pilgrims, and we're working towards heaven. If a man or Satan could change that, it would mean that God was neither all-powerful or all-knowing. That which is settled in eternity can never be undone in time. Our perfection, Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified. He made us perfect by his sacrifice. Not perfect for a time, but perfect forever. He did not make a down payment on sanctification. He paid the debt in full. He purchased it forever by his precious blood. I always love the song when he talks about he took our sin, not in part, but the whole, and tacked it to the cross. He paid the price. It's complete. It's full. The debt is done. You know, today we buy stuff and we buy it on credit, you know. And what do? We make payments on it, don't we? Oh, it was great when your car or your truck and you get it paid off and get that title in the mail. Or you get that home paid for and you burn the mortgage, you know. But Jesus paid it all right then and there. There's no debt left. As a Christian, now I'll tell you something. I did not get a fresh start. Listen to what I'm saying. I didn't get a fresh start. I got a new life. That's what you get when you come to Jesus Christ. You don't turn a leaf over or try to improve yourself. You get a new life, a new beginning. You become a new creature, a new creation. We are not perfect in the flesh. Now listen to this. We're not perfect in the flesh. We're perfect in the soul, though. This is what we were made perfect in. If we step out of line, we will be chastened. But I'm still viewed as being perfect by the Father. Now here's something we need to realize. That when God looks down on a saved person, he doesn't see you. You know what he sees? He sees Jesus. You're covered by him. And that's what he sees. And we are not saved by good works. We cannot lose our salvation by bad works. We are saved through the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been declared perfect. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye were washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Our position, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What is it? You receive Christ. You become a new creation. You become literally a part of Christ. Noah and his family, think about this. They were secure because of their position in the ark. Now listen to this. Noah may have fell many times in the ark, but he never fell out of it. We can sin. We can fall sometimes, even though we're saved. We're still in the flesh. And there's that struggle between the spirit and the flesh. And we can fall sometimes, but we don't lose our salvation. Now, there's so many denominations out there. I ain't going to name them all, but most of them can believe you can lose your salvation. You can fall out of grace, whatever they use that as an excuse when people go off the deep end. But to think of it is like, were they ever saved to begin with? That's the question. This security of the believer is pretty much the Baptist thing. And why is it? Because we Baptists go by the scripture. Noah didn't fall out. Why? Because he was in a safe place. We're in a safe place. Believers enjoy a greater measure of safety than Noah did. Now, listen to this. Jesus' prayer. John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He never prayed a prayer that was unanswered. He always prayed in the Father's will, and the Father always answered in the affirmative. Jesus prayed specifically for us and expressed a desire that we be brought to him. We'll be with him in heaven someday. He prayed for our keeping and for our going home. You can be assured in your walk, secured in the knowledge that you're saved by the grace of God. Secure in the love of Christ. Now listen to this. He prayed for us, but he's still praying for us. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able and also to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's still sitting right there next to the Father, intercessing for us. That's why when you pray in the name of Jesus, because he's your high priest. It's going through him. God's power. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's power is greater than any other. It is his power that keeps us saved. If Satan could get one believer at the hand of God, he would have them all. But he cannot do that. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now the word never is there four times in the Greek. Now I'm not a Greek scholar and all, but I'm going to try to do the best with this in Greek. Now the first word, ome, O-U-M-E, means not at all, by no means, in no case, never. Ice, E-I-S, means time, place, purpose. Ho, male or female, A-I-O-N, perpetually and eternally. Now, a little rendering of this says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not at all, by any means, in any case, in any place, at any time, for any purpose, whether they be male or female, perpetually or eternally, ever perish. Amen. The word perish, it means they can never destroy themselves. You know, I always used to hear, you know, no man can pluck them out of my hand. And I used to hear, the pastor said, well, you can jump out. No, it says never, not even yourself. That's ridiculous. The good shepherd has made it his mission that we arrive home safely. You know, I do a little thing every time I go to Matthews and I cross that bridge over to Rappahannock. Before I get there, I do, see us safely across, Lord. And I say, thank you before you even get up. But I know he's going to see me safely home. Some years ago in a drawing room function, one of England's leading actors was asked to recite for the pleasure of his fellow guests. He consented and asked if there was anything special that his audience would like to hear. After a moment's pause, an old clergyman present said, could you, sir, recite us the 23rd Psalm? A strange look passed over the actor's face. He paused for a moment and then said, I can and I will upon one condition, and that is that after I have recited that you, my friend, will do the same. I, said the clergyman with surprise, but I am not an elocutionist. However, if you wish it, I will do so. Impressively, the great actor began the psalm. His voice and intonation were perfect. He held his audience spellbound, and as he finished, a great burst of applause broke from the group. Then as it died away, the old clergyman arose and began his psalm. His voice was not remarkable. His own intonation was not faultless. When he had finished, no sound of applause broke the silence, but there was not a dry eye in the room, and many heads were bowed. Then the actor rose to his feet again. His voice shook as he laid hand upon the shoulder of the old clergyman and said, I reached your eyes and ears, but my friends, he reached your hearts. The difference is, I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd. Are you a believer? If you are, rejoice. You're eternally secure in Christ. Stop allowing the devil to kick you around. Give him the boot. You're a child of God, and you're going to heaven. You have a right to feel good about it and what the Lord has done in you. Or, on the other hand, are you lost? You need to come to him, and you need to be saved. And it needs to be now. As it says in the scriptures, today is the day of salvation. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Don't let your fears or your sins let you go to hell. That's the alternative. It's heaven or hell. There's no in between. Do you know him today? I think back of the time that I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I could remember not knowing what would happen to me if I fell asleep and I would pass in my sleep where I'd end up. I spent restless nights with that. But you know what? For years, after having received my Lord and Savior, I lay my head on that pillow at night, and I don't worry about it, and I think about the little child's prayer. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I know that's what he will do. And I know that's what he did for my wife. My wife went to sleep. She didn't wake up, and I know where she went. She didn't suffer. She went in peace. Do you have that peace? Do you know that he's your Lord and Savior? And do you know that he's with you and he's going to keep you till that eternal day? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you that you loved us so much to give your son for us, that we might have eternal life and to know that it is eternal, that once we have come to receive you truly into our hearts and in our life and are living for you, we're bound for heaven, and that cannot be taken away from us. And we pray today that each and every one of us know that as a surety today. But if we don't know, that we need the time to respond today, to know that tugging at the heart is the Holy Spirit saying that, convicting us, knowing us that we need to have eternal life. We need to trust Jesus Christ. We need to repent and turn to him. And we pray that not a soul would leave here today without knowing him as their Lord and Savior. For this we pray in his holy and precious name. Amen.
593, Where He Leads Me.
Trust the Lord has spoke to you today, and I'm going to do the benediction. I'm going to go back there. I think I have been back that door for a while. I need to go there today. So I'm going to go back there and do the benediction, and those that go that way, I'll greet you. And the rest, have a wonderful day, and don't worry about that little white stuff. It ain't going to be much. No. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you for your word, and we pray that we take that in our hearts and go home with it, and that we live it and we share it. And keep us till we come safely back together, for we go in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.